following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Awesome, awesome time of the year. Well, one of the things we're doing this month is celebrating and focusing on the various names of God. And Jim read that scripture out of Isaiah where it declares a number of names that he is. And the one that I want to focus on this morning is Prince of Peace. We are living in a time where there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of things. Have you noticed there's a lot of things going on the earth? I appreciated the dance that Paul and Peter did because we got to understand that when the night that Christ was born and even the days leading up to it, there was a lot of warfare going on in the heavenlies. The angels were singing, but they were singing because of the reality of a battle that was being waged and being won. And we need to know that our Savior is a Prince of Peace. Heaven promises us, you and I, a lot of things. It promises us that there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more death. But while you and I are on the earth, there are things that we experience that don't line up with that. And there are portions of heaven that we can only have in heaven. I've heard people say, well, I'm living heaven on earth now. And I understand that, and I've said that myself. But we do need to understand, and maybe more than any other time in some of our history, probably I'd have to say in my history, I'm realizing that there are portions of heaven that you cannot possess now. And sometimes we get caught off guard and we lose our peace because thinks that somehow somebody broke the rules and someone messed with us. Somebody is messing with you, but understand this, someone will mess with you till you go to the grave. But we can have peace in the midst of it no matter what. And it's not a peace that comes based upon who's sitting in the White House. It's based upon who's sitting in the white throne. That's where our peace comes from. That's where our confidence comes from. It isn't based on whether everything is just going fine and everything is normal. Everything is not normal, but we still have a Prince of Peace that we can go to and draw from. And there are portions of heaven that we can have now. And Jesus, when he was getting ready to go back to heaven, he left two things with his disciples that we can have here and now on planet Earth. The first thing is peace, and the second thing is joy. You do not have to wait till you get to heaven to have peace, and you do not wait till you get to heaven to have joy. We can experience here on Earth. That's what Jesus said to his guys. Receive my peace. Receive my joy. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might receive my peace, that you might receive my joy. But the truth is, we've celebrated this morning Emmanuel, God with us. But the reality is that we cannot have the peace unless we have the Prince of Peace with us. I believe this. I believe that in the same way that the children of Israel had to gather manna every morning. I want to suggest to you that it is good for us to consider that every morning the mercies of God are new, but every morning the peace of God is new. Every morning the joy of God is new. Every morning the love of God is new. Every morning the kindness of God is new. Every morning the gentleness of God is new. Every morning, every morning, every morning. Emmanuel, God with us. But we must make an effort to make sure when we get up in the morning and leave the house or don't leave the house or whatever we do, that we have connected with God, with the Prince of Peace. We live in an age where we want everything downloaded. And we just want to receive it. And we want the newest and the greatest and the best methodology. Well, I want to take us to scripture in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. It is a method, it is an old, age-old method to walk and live in the peace of God. And it's not new. We have a God who does not change, and He does not change the way He does things. He may change how He connects with us, how we relate to Him. He changes us. We grow in Him, but He is constant. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. And this is nothing new to you, but I want to put you in remembrance of it. Sometimes we get so accustomed to the ways of God, we get bored with it and we say, there's got to be a better way, or there's got to be another way, or there's got to be more. But the more is Him and His person. Understand this, you don't get the peace of God separate from Jesus. By that I mean, Jesus doesn't give us peace, He is our peace. He doesn't portion out something that is separate from who He is. He gives us Himself. If you come in a little bit, we're going to have a candle lighting service, and we're going to give to one another light or fire, or symbolizing the light that is within. But Jesus didn't just give us a light, He gave us the whole candle. He became within us the light. And so it is with peace. And so here in Philippians chapter 4, there are some things that the Apostle Paul writes, which, by the way, he writes it while in prison. You think you're having a bad week? A bad year? Verse 4. I think I'll read it and then we'll talk. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace. Everybody say peace. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the peace, or the God of peace, everyone say peace, will be with you. First thing the Apostle Paul writes is, rejoice. I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to rejoice. One, two, three. That's not rejoicing, is it? Rejoicing is putting joy on display. Rejoicing is letting our soul know that we're happy. Rejoicing is letting our feet know that we're happy. Rejoicing is letting our voice know that we're happy. Rejoicing is letting our mouth know that we're happy. Rejoicing takes on our emotions and our whole person. And do you know that you can choose joy? But I highly recommend not to choose joy and then not rejoice. The back pressure could kill you. I'm just saying. You gotta let it out. And the first thing the Apostle Paul says, remember now, we're moving toward a peace that will guard our minds and hearts. I don't like formulas, but Paul kind of puts one in print here. But it's not a formula as in ritualistics. It's a formula as in lifestyle. And one of the first things that you and I need to know is we can choose joy, but it's a really good idea that somebody around you knows it. In fact, I want to suggest that if somebody around you doesn't know you have joy, you probably don't have joy. You might have a theology without the reality. But if we put on, we see over and over again, the same apostle writes and says, put on. So we put on joy. And so we're wearing it. Yeah. Come on. So rejoice. And he says it twice. He says, come on, I'm going to tell you again. Kids, listen. Do you kids know how to rejoice? We got kids in the room today because this is a family service. Kids, hey, little elf, come here. Can you come up here, buddy? Come on up. Yeah. Do you know how to rejoice?
No.
Yes, you see, but he does. He does. You do know how to rejoice. I asked him earlier before the service started, I said, so are you really an elf? He said, yes, I am. Smile at the people. Can you do a little dance? Yeah. Yep. Good. Dance all the way to your seat. You know how to rejoice. Do you know that most kids know how to rejoice? Do you know that most kids know how to show joy? Do you know that most kids know how to get a hold of peace? Now, we got to train them in some of those things, but the reality is, kids, there's a liberty and a freedom. And sometimes we got to be like a child in our relationship to what's going on around us and in relationship to our parental God. So we choose joy. The next one's a little tough. Treat the people around you nice. Be gentle with all men. All men? It's like, all men? All people? It's like the guy who said, I just love everybody. I had the preacher that mentored me said, you haven't met everybody yet. Think about it. Be gentle to all men.
Talking about me.
No, I'm not talking about you. Be gentle to all men. Why? Because God is watching. God is at hand. We can make a conscious effort, and my wife will tell you, I'm still growing in this one. We can make a conscious effort to be gentle. We can make men, not just men, but men, at least from my perspective, men more than women, we can tend to be a little bit hard. And there's a softness and there's a gentleness that the nature of Christ who dwells within us wants to bring. And sometimes things flare up and pop up and come up on the inside of us. I know that never happens to any of you women. Liar. But anyway, of course it does. We're human. But there's a way in which we can put on gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. The next thing we do is we don't worry. How many of you remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. Jamaican song. Don't worry, be happy. Now, I don't think that was a Christian song. But there's a reality where there's no sense in worries usually based upon the future, and there's no sense in bothering the future with your present. And there's no sense in borrowing the future's problems. You have enough problems today. This is what Jesus said. You like that, huh? Jesus said that. No, rather than worry, pray. Why do we pray? To talk to God. She knows how to rejoice. We talk to God. We come to God because we know that He is the source of what we need. He is the source of our peace. And so we dialogue with Him. I want to encourage you, when you pray, make sure that you take time to listen. Give time for God to get a word in edgewise, because it probably will be a word of peace. It probably will bring something that gives you joy. But do it with thanksgiving. How many of you know Thanksgiving is not just one day out of the year? In fact, I want to suggest that the secret to peace and joy is thankfulness. I want to suggest that no matter what's going on, see, because the truth is, and a lot of people have been rattled by what's going on with COVID and all of this, the primary reason so many people are struggle with it is because there's the fear of dying. And you and I, of all the people on the planet Earth, ought not to fear death. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's true. And if you don't have, if you can't find anything else to be thankful for, be thankful that you are saved and you have an eternal destination. And I realize that I don't want to diminish or minimize what is going on in our nation or might be going on in your family or people, you know. I'm not making light of that. It's valid. But there is a truth that's higher than all of that, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the Prince of Peace. And we have to keep our eyes on Him. In fact, I want to suggest that the more crazy the world we get in lives, the more necessary it is for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Thankfulness is powerful. So is water. Thankfulness is a doorway to joy, and it's a doorway to peace. Because it shifts our focus to what is, to what will be. It shifts our focus from what is to who is. It shifts our focus onto something much bigger than ourselves or our circumstances. It shifts our focus off ourselves and onto our God and our Savior. And it allows us to tap into a joy and into a peace that does not come from ourselves. Before this service is over this morning, you are going to have in your hand, if you want to and choose to, a lit candle. And some of the kids are saying, "What?" But none of you would have got it from yourself. It'll come from another source. And you're going to have to bow down to get it. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. If we choose joy, if we're careful how we relate to one another, if rather than worrying, we spend time praying and make our requests known to God, if we do all that from a heart filled with thankfulness, there is a peace. I believe it's a promise. There is a peace that will surpass all natural understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind. It becomes a guard. And by the way, that word is not just a nice little sentry standing. It is a whole garrison. Right. It is a whole army at your disposal to guard your heart and to guard your mind. What have you been thinking about? I don't mean just here this morning, but what have you been mulling over in your mind? I want you to consider it, because it affects whether you're joyful or not. It affects whether you're peaceful or not. What have you been watching on your screen? I'm not against screens, but I recommend we be careful what we let come across them, because they carry things that also Apostle Paul's final admonition is to be careful what you think on. Focus on things that are life-giving, that are positive. When we hear things like that, sometimes we feel like, oh, that's just faith teaching. No, it's not. It's faith building. It's hope building. It's peace and joy. We've got to be wise. On what we let into our lives. We got to be wise in what we let into our homes. Whether we're talking about peace, whether we're talking about light, whether we're talking about joy, whether we're talking about love, doesn't matter. There is a source that we can get it from, and it is not us. And it's not the person around you in real life. In a little bit, someone will be lighting your candle, either from your left or from your right. And there is a way in which we can give peace away. There is a way in which we can bring peace into a room when we walk in. Have you ever walked into a room where there's been some turmoil going on and you don't know anything other than, whoa, this is not a happy place to be right now? Might be in a home, might be in a building, might be in a business, but we all probably know that feeling. In the same way, as we can, an atmosphere of a room can be affected that way. It can be affected with the love of God, with the life of God, with the peace of God, with the joy of God. We're celebrating Jesus here this morning. And it would be good for us. Here's what I believe. I believe that he was all man. And he laid down his divinity, if I could say that way, his godliness. And the way that he was able to do what he did and say what he said and is because he constantly connected with the source. As the man Christ Jesus, he constantly had to connect with God the Father. In fact, he said, the words I speak are not my words, they're my Father's words. The works I do, they're not my works, they're my Father's works. What I'm saying is when he said, I am the light of the world, he, the man Christ Jesus, got his light from his Father. He needed to hear the voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He needed to have the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove and remain. Why? Because he was the man Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask if Renee will come up. There's really a very prophetic picture here. For those of you who may be watching or either here or at home don't know, but this is my daughter. And there's a sense, in the same way that Jesus Christ the Son could only get what he needed from his Father, this is a prophetic picture. Now, the reality is that she gets what she needs from her heavenly Father, not this Father. But symbolically, here this morning, yes, she gets what she needs from her Father in the same way that Jesus got what he needed from his Father. Talking about the man Christ Jesus now. And he had the ability then to give it to others. And they had the ability to give it to others. And Jesus could say, I am the light of the world because he connected with I am.
Amen.
And then the Apostle Paul could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And you can say, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.